of Christ. And you don't have to raise your hand if you can't do that, but I want you to think about that. I want you to think about, can you open up the Bible and prove the things that you believe? Can I do that? And if we understand that it's a shortcoming, then I need to recognize that and do better. And so Sunday morning, Lord will, we'll begin to talk about establishing Bible authority, the need for a standard, how the Bible teaches. We'll talk about eight subtractions, which you hardly ever hear of, about subtractions. You hear a lot about eights, but we'll talk about subtractions and the silence of the Scriptures. And we'll talk about expediencies, and we'll talk about general and specific commands. And all that is in the material that I put together yesterday for you. You be sure, again, to pick that up, and don't just glance over it, but read it and take your time filling those out. I wanted us to begin tonight with this very simple chart that I put together on the chain of revelation. We believe with all of our heart that the Word of God, just as was pointed out a moment ago, that the Bible is the Word of God. But I ask the question, how did God's Word get from God to man? We have to know that. If we're going to understand how to establish Bible authority, we've got to understand how the Word of God went from being with God all the way down to man. Now, there's a lot of varying opinions about that and thinking about that. Some folks say, well, yeah, I believe that it originated with God, but God directly gave it to men today, and as to say that God came and He told me this and He told me that. I'm sure you've heard that before. Well, is that the case? How do you know that's not the case?
The Bible says
it. Okay. Where does the Bible say that?
I know you're going to say that.
But you're right. So folks say, now hold on. God told me. And then the just goes on and on. God told me, or I feel, or He came to me and said, or some preacher may say, I don't know what I'm going to preach until I get up and the Lord lays it on my heart. Well, that's saying then that God directly reveals His Word to men. No instrumentality, just directly to men. And the Bible doesn't teach that. That God does that today. And so we've got to be able to show individuals that that's the case. Just recently, and recent as in this week, an individual shared some writings with me that he had put together, and he talked about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit coming and revealing things to men today. Is that the case?
No.
No? How do we know that? Where does the Bible say that? Say it again.
Hebrews 1.
Okay, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. What does that say, Shirley?
As God, who at sundry times and in divers ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds.
Good. So God speaks to us today in these last days by His Son. And there's a whole study that we could go on. We're not going to chase a rabbit tonight, but it would be a necessity that we nail down for folks when the last days began and how God does that. But you may even have someone point out even about Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Well, yeah, the Word is with God, but Jesus told me. And there's a text that says that God speaks to us today in these last days by His Son. So Jesus came to me last night, and Jesus told me A, B, C, X, Y, Z. Well, is that right? How do we know it's not right? Okay, what does that say, Wolf? Okay. Jesus went back to heaven, and after He ascended to heaven, He, through the Holy Spirit, gave commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen. And so again, the Word came from God, but it was carried out by instrumentality through the Son, the Holy Spirit, and so forth. But I hope that you see the importance that we have to be able to show individuals that. And it doesn't matter to me if you write this in the margin of your Bible and you carry your Bible and you open it up and you've got it wrote in the margin of your Bible and you can show it. Or if you memorize it, and which that'd probably be the preferred way to do that. You may not have your Bible with you at all times. But if you memorize it, and you can show that to individuals. But the point is we must know why we believe that. We make the claim. We've got to put our finger on it. I point out in the material, again, Sunday, you absolutely cannot preach by faith what you cannot prove by Scripture. You agree with that? And so we've got to show folks that. And that's why this very simple study and this simple chart is put together. We've got to show individuals the fact that, yes, the Bible is the Word of God, and show them how it came to us today. In 2 Timothy, and all these, I don't doubt for a minute that you are familiar with all of these references. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, Paul's writing to Timothy, and what does he say?
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Good. How much of the Scripture?
All.
Okay, now, at the time that Paul wrote this, what would he have been in reference to in this? What would he be referring to? Okay, so the Old Testament. So I want to ask you the question. Is the New Testament writings referred to as Scripture? I think this was covered in a Bible class. Maybe still covered this, or I'm not sure. Huh? If in 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, when the Bible refers to Scripture, if that's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures, that from a child Timothy knew those and made wise unto salvation, is there a New Testament passage that calls the New Testament writings Scripture?
It's the perfect law of liberty, but
sometimes
they
refer to it as epistles.
Okay.
These are actually some of Paul's epistles are hard to understand. He said he had some writings churches did that was done in New Testament times. I don't know why I know they're referred to as Scripture.
What else may the New Testament writings be referred to? The gospel, faith, which is or doctrine, which is teaching. When Peter wrote concerning the writings of Paul, and he said, even as our beloved brother Paul had written, 2 Peter 3 and in verse 16, I want you to notice how this is worded. Do words count in the Bible? Absolutely. The words count, the letters count, Galatians 3, and the order counts. Notice in verse 16, as also in all his epistles, and that's in reference to Paul, let's go back to verse 15, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Now, notice how this is worded. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other, what? Other scriptures unto their own destruction. Now what is that necessarily implying to refer to Paul's writing as other and then talk about other scriptures? Notice this. They're unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures. What is that talking? What's that referring to Paul's writings then as?
Scriptures.
Scriptures. When you talk about other, you're necessarily implying that you're talking about other scriptures, and that the former is scripture. The point I want you to see about that is scripture simply means what?
It's from the Greek word script, which
is in a writing. And yes, the New Testament and the Old Testament are called scriptures. even though there may be a passage that talks about scriptures in reference specifically to the Old Testament scriptures. But I want you to see that point. And all scripture is given by what?
Inspiration
of God. And so what does the word inspired mean? God breathed. In other words, we don't have to complicate it. It just simply means that it came forth from God. That God is the originator of it. God is the source of it. And there's a lot of different ideas about inspiration today. That they were just simply inspired, like Shakespeare was inspired. Or they were inspired, and maybe God just simply gave the thought but allowed them, the Bible writers, to pick out the words that they best saw fit. Neither one of those are right. The very words themselves are inspired from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about that. Which words, he talks about, we speak. That the Holy Spirit gives. And so, yes, they originate with God. Then Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, as surely pointed out, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And there's a distinction made there, then, in the book of Hebrews, a comparison between what God did in time past and what he does in the last days. In time past, what did he do?
Prophets.
Spoken to the fathers through the instrumentality of who? The prophets. Well, he speaks today. Does God speak today? To men. But he does so through the instrumentality of his Son. Again, that's Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. Now, when did the last days begin?
At his death, right?
At his death?
Yeah.
Okay, who said so?
Said when he went back to heaven.
Went back to heaven.
He rose again.
Okay.
It's all in the making,
not with it. Okay. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, when on the day of Pentecost, the apostles received the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, fell on the apostles and the apostles only, right?
Yep.
Peter got up and he began to preach to the people. His sermon actually begins down in verse 22, but he has some introductory statements that he makes beginning with verse 14. And notice what he says, that what has taken place is a fulfillment of. The apostles were accused of being drunk, and he says, verse 16, this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass
in the last days.
Acts 2, you have the recording of the beginning of the last days. And he goes on to talk about that prophecy, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So don't let anyone trick you into believing that we're just now somehow entering into the last days. We've been in the last days since Acts chapter 2. In Revelation 1:1, someone read that for us.
Of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John.
Now, where did it originate?
With
God. And then God gave it, and it was revealed. So, now, I've got on your chart Christ. Did Jesus speak of his own self while he was on earth? Spoke oftentimes about himself and about the Father and about spiritual things and things to come and things like that. But the message that that he was teaching, did he get that anywhere or did?
He said, I got all things from the Father.
Yeah. That which the Father gives to me, that I speak. Right? So again, I want you to see that point that it originated from the Father in John chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. It's simple to understand that the things that He taught and that He spoke to the people came from the Father. He made several statements about that, like in John 4, verse 24, when He talked about His meat was to do the will of Him that sent Him and to do His work. So He came to do the Father's will, and He spoke that which was given to Him. Now, I've got next on your chart the Holy Spirit. And I'd encourage you to go back. There's just a ton of references that you could give that you could write on any one of these. And I'd encourage you to go and to do that. So, God gave His Word to Jesus. And while Jesus was here, what did He do? What did He do with it? Taught it. Right? He preached it. John 4. The Bible talks about when He began really His public ministry, then He came and preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John 4:17. He taught the people, and He had a lot of the teachings of Jesus, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 23, and there's just a bunch of sections in the Bible that has the teachings that Jesus gave. Well, did Jesus teach the apostles everything He wanted them to know?
He taught that down, but they couldn't remember it. It had to do with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. He didn't teach them everything. Right? And the things that He did teach them, Johnny is right, they could remember that. Why couldn't they remember it? Okay, it was a lot. They were men like we are. Can you remember everything? I can't either. I wish I could, but I can't. We have a tendency to forget it. So Bible preachers were encouraged and admonished and charged to put brethren in remembrance of things. Why do that? Because we forget. Paul admonished Timothy that. Peter wrote about that. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, it was me to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of these things. Because we forget. The apostles were going to forget. So Jesus, recognizing that, of course, made provision for that. God made provision for that. You need three chapters that point that out. What are they? There may be others, and if you don't get the ones that I'm thinking of, then that's okay. I'll learn from you and you learn from me. There's a big speech section that Jesus is having in the book of John in which He is speaking specifically to the apostles. What chapters is that? It begins in chapter 13. Chapter 17 is a whole prayer of Jesus, and so it's chapter 13, not all of 13, but it begins in chapter 13, but specifically John 14, 15 and 16. And Jesus in those chapters makes some statements concerning the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit was going to do. So let's turn over there really quickly and just notice, if you will, John 14 verse 26. Someone read that for us. John 14, 26. So some versions refer to the Holy Spirit as a comforter. What did that one say, Jane?
The counselor.
What version is that? Okay, so different versions read that different. You say have a different one, Johnny?
No, we got the comforter.
Okay, the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall do what? He's going to teach you. Now, what sense would that make that Jesus already taught them all things?
And then He's going to bring to remembrance.
So the Holy Spirit was going to do two things as mentioned in this passage. Teach, and as Jan pointed out, He's going to remind you. You need to be taught more, and you need to be reminded about the things that I have taught you. Now that's important, especially in light of the Great Commission, because Jesus told them to go out and to do what? Teach the gospel.
Baptize them.
That's right. And then to do what with those people who obeyed the gospel?
Teach them to observe all things.
Yeah, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Well, they better have a strong memory or they were going to be reminded, and the latter is what was going to happen. They was going to be reminded by the Holy Spirit. So that's John 14:26. And then over in John 15:26. So I want to read that for us, if you will.
The Holy Spirit has come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth out from the Father and shall testify of me.
Now, what's he going to do? Testify of me. In verse 13 of chapter 16. He's going to tell you things to come. So I want you to see that point. That God gave the word to Jesus. Jesus taught the apostles and others. It's John 16:13. But Jesus wasn't going to be here forever. And so he said, I'm going to go. And when I go, I'll send the Holy Spirit to you. And he's going to teach and he's going to remind. And you've got to keep the context, as we'll talk about again on Sunday. In that lesson, we'll get to it. The importance of the context. Jesus is not talking to you and he's not talking to me in these chapters. He's talking to the apostles. And that's even found in Acts 1 and Acts 2, that the apostles are the ones that received it. And so, Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and the Holy Spirit's going to do these things. Not a it, by the way, but a he. And as I already pointed out, Acts 1 and 2, and these other passages. This Acts 1:1-2 is a strong passage. It shows that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. In 2 Peter chapter 1:20-21, what does the Bible say there concerning the Scriptures?
No prophecy has ever came by the will of man. Instead, moved by the Holy Spirit, he spoke from God.
They were moved by what?
The Holy
by the Holy Spirit. So, again, the Holy Spirit revealed those things and they pinned them down. So the Word originated with God, given to Jesus. He taught the apostles and individuals, but he went back to heaven. And he continued to teach the apostles, but through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit. Well, what did the apostles do with the Word? They taught it. It's exactly right. The Lord had commanded them to do that, and they did that very thing. There's a ton of passages to talk about that. The Great Commission, or Acts 5:42, and others, they continued to teach and to preach Jesus Christ, giving the charge to others to preach the Word, 2 Timothy 4:2. Or to commit the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, 2 Timothy 2 and then verse 2. Well, just like the Lord wasn't always going to be here, the apostles were not always going to be here. So I guess the Word just ceased when the apostles ceased to walk the earth. Now, how on earth are we going to have it today? The apostles are gone. And by the way, are there apostles today?
No.
No. understand also the word apostles used in a general sense and a specific sense. Even men who are not of the original 12 are referred to as apostles, Barnabas was. But in a specific sense, men who were chosen by the Lord that fulfilled those qualifications in Acts 1, in order to be an apostle, he had to be what?
Chosen by God, Jesus Christ.
Say it again. You had to be a witness of his resurrection. Acts 8. I mean, Acts 1, rather. Okay, you had to be a witness with him of his resurrection. And there was only two selected in Acts 1, but there are no apostles today.
What is it like the other apostles mentioned in the Bible? What is their definition? Do you know?
Well, the word apostle is used in different ways in the New Testament. It can be in reference to the original 12 that was pointed out when it's used in reference to Barnabas and Paul together. Barnabas wasn't a man who was hand-selected to the Lord while the Lord was here. But the word apostle just simply means one who has been sent. That's all it means. And so Paul and Barnabas were sent forth by the Holy Spirit, Acts 13. But specifically in the sense of the apostles that the Lord had selected, Barnabas was not among that number. Well, they're not here today, and so how do we have the word from God today? Well, the apostles taught individuals and they did what else? You're right. But what did they do? Yeah, they wrote it. A couple of passages, Ephesians 3, for sake of time, 3 through 5. Turn there quickly with me and read it. Ephesians 3, just such a simple study to show individuals how the Word came from God to man. And we've got to know this. Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5, what does that say?
Now that the revelation he made known to me, the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ.
All right, I want you to understand that. For the sake of time, we don't have time to discuss the mystery, but it's the fact that God was going to reconcile Jew and Gentile into one body, the church. And Paul talks about that in Ephesians 3. But I want you to notice that Paul says, how did Paul get it? Now that by revelation he made known unto me. Now not by revelation unto you or to me, but to Paul. And then Paul says, as I wrote afore in few words. And then he said, whereby when you read it. And so if we want to know what was revealed to Paul, we've got to do what? We've got to read it. And so there's just no shortcuts. If we want to know what the Word says that came from God, we've got to read what inspired men wrote. See how simple? And so then Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And so it just simply will not do for someone to say, I'll take what Jesus said, but I won't listen to Paul, to Peter, and to James. Because what they wrote, 1 Corinthians 14:37, are the commandments of the Lord. It's inspired. And so we've got to understand that. And so does God speak to us today in closing? Absolutely. Through Jesus, through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit given to the apostles, and they penned it down, whereby when we read what was given to them, we can know what God expects us to know. Hang on to that chart and study it. The bell's getting ready to ring. I did bring, I forgot to mention to you, a bunch of these folders, and I'll put them in the back. I'd encourage you to grab one of these and put Sundays from last Sunday, that material in here, things that God hates, and put tonight's material in here. Pick up your material for Sunday morning, put that in here, and keep all of it together. Write your name on the folder. And don't just leave it in your seat or where the hymns are. I'm over here through the week and I'll see it and I'll know who does that. But put that together and be ready to study. Fill your material out. Be ready to study. Any comments or questions? I appreciate your good attention.
Imagine that all this stuff would happen. How many people could read? You just remember that. Love with people. I remember loving people in prison.
place a lot of emphasis on hearing. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.